Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. And here it is on a Sunday morning, July 26th. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. It's just great to have everybody. I'm watching people come online on the side here. So just welcome and have some great people with us already this morning. If you want to go ahead and text me to make sure that the Facebook or whatever you're trying to watch and get it on is working properly. Had several texts already this morning. That always just kind of helps me. But good morning. Good to see everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. Things are crazy here in Houston. It's actually right now a pretty sunny day. We've been having some storms here. I'm sure you are too, where you're at with, I guess it's a hurricane. I'm not for sure what's going on with it, but we've been really getting some rain. Some streets were flooded yesterday as I went to work and back, but everything's calm and cool right now, but I'm going to give just everybody a minute or two to make sure they're logged on and have everything properly set. I do want to, while I just kind of chew the fat with you, while everybody's coming on, you may want to check out our new church webpage. It's back up and running, and it's going to be have some exciting things on it. I think all these videos are going to be on it too. You'll have access to In His Steps webpage through there, the Pearland Homeschool webpage through there, the Shattered by the Darkness webpage will be through there, and people are saying, hey, here we are, so welcome. They'll just keep on coming. Oh, good. Okay, good. Oh, here we are. I love you guys. So it's going to be fun. We really are trying to get our online presence to be second to none, because we realize that the online presence is going to be the key to the future. Everybody's telling me in all the research and everything that's coming out right now is, oh, wow. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I guess the O-Days. What are you doing in Portland, Oregon? So we have the O-Days in Portland, Oregon. So welcome, Mike and Connie and your mom out there in Portland. We have some people in Chicago with us this morning, so good to have you. California's here. Florida's here. We have a lot of people just around the Dallas is here. A lot of people around the country. That's what I love about this, you know, because I would have never done this if it wasn't for COVID, to be honest with you. So there's going to be good things to come out of this. Hey, y'all. Good. Okay, fantastic. As they keep coming in, I'm going to put this on silent now, not to ignore you, but to make sure, because my ADHD, possibly, every time it dings, I want to jump in there and see who it is, so ignore that. But anyway, get on the webpage, look at the new webpage. It's going to be updated, I think, next couple weeks in a wonderful way. We also are anticipating getting a grant that is just for our webpage and our webpage presence. And that grant is going to be about $10,000 a month for us to be able to put into getting our webpage, our website, the things that we do online on the top of the category when you go on the webpage and type in Google Faith Springs or Faith. Ours is going to be booted to the top of the line if this grant goes through. And one of those recommendations or requirements was that we update the web page and get it up and running to the top notch. So we have three people on that committee, Michael Reedus, Philip Hickman, and Curtis, my son, Curtis Williams. They're going to be working together kind of as a web team. And Michael was on there yesterday really updating it. So I appreciate, Michael, you doing all the work you have. But be able to get on there and play and look, and you may want to visit back frequently because things are going to be updated pretty regularly. Looks like we have a great group of people with us this morning. I received something late this week that I'm going to open up in front of you, not because I like to do that, but because that was what was requested of me. Yesterday was my birthday, and this apparently is something to have to do with has to do with that. But I'm going to open up with the word of prayer. Then I'll open that, let you see what this is, because I have no clue. But I want to let you know, I was tempted to look into it couple times over the weekend, but I didn't, I promise. And we're going to do that here in a minute after I say amen. And then we're going to open up God's word and just enjoy, I think, what I needed to hear, what I need this morning, and hopefully you do too. So it looks like we have everybody here. Not everybody, but oh, good. Oh, wow. Okay, it's off the scales today. So wonderful. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll kind of officially begin. And welcome to the church. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you and thank you for the day, and thank you for all the blessings. Lord, I just thank you that we have a technology that can just soar around the world. And you're in charge of all this, all those airwaves and how that works and through the internet. And Lord, I don't understand any of that, but we know that you have a hand in that. And thank you for us to be able to get the word out, your word out, to so many people, literally, Lord, around this country. And Lord, I believe even around this world, people are tuning in to hear a word from you. May we receive that word today. Lord, may not be something that I say, but something that you say through me. And the honor it is to be one of your vessels of your word is tremendous. Because, Lord, this vessel's dirty. It's cracked. It's chipped. It's got holes in it. But, Lord, every day you create a vessel that can still hold your word. And you forgive me and you dust me off and you make me new, and I appreciate that. You make all of us new in all of our faults. Lord, be with us today. Let your word speak, and not let it just whisper. Let it shout inside of our spirits. And may we walk away when we say amen and close the computer lids here just shortly and say, boy, it's been good to open up your word and to just spend some time with our Heavenly Father. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. Thank you all for being here. Welcome to church. And I don't want to spend too much time with this because I want to get the word's really good today. The word's good all every day. But anyway, look at this. This came. And it's just an unbelievable package. And it's beautiful. Purple, obviously. And I got a new purple shirt, too, so I match. Let me see if I can get this open. I want to thank everybody for your emails, your wishes that they got yesterday. I did absolutely nothing. Okay, let's see what we got. Hey, here's cards and things. I will read that later. All right. Well, it looks like something that I love. Oh, my. Oh, look at this. Okay, I'm going to lean back here. It looks like a quilt. Beautiful quilt. I'm trying to see what it says. Oh, there's our church scripture. Remember not the former things, neither consider things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. There's where we got Faith Springs way back when we named our church. Shall you not know? Let me get rid of that old piece of paper. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43:18-19. Here is Park Place Baptist Church, 1918. Let's see what else is on here. Oh, my. Okay, we have some church members' names here. And Jesus said down in here, Jesus said, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you, John 15:12. That is absolutely a keeper. And it looks like, and these cards have fallen out, if I'd known that, I would have would have done this a little different. It looks like there's some places for name cards here in the floor. Names of church members, and apparently when they joined the church. Oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. We'll take that up there. Well, thank you. Thank you. I just absolutely love this. And to be honest with you, the people that do the quilting ladies, thank you for doing this and getting together, because this isn't just something you pick up at a store. This is something you make, and it is an absolutely gorgeous piece of work. So that is fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to drape myself with that right now as we speak. So that's just wonderful. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I have a quilt on my bed right now that's purple also, that was made and given to me a few years ago. And it's right on my bed inside my bedroom. And I just love that. And I will put this right on the couch here, and every week you'll be able to see it there. And thank you, ladies. I would say thank you, men, but I don't think there's any men involved in this. There may be, but thank you, ladies, for your work and your hard efforts and your dedication, your love, and just the gift and the thoughtfulness of this. This is unbelievable. I love it. Thank you very much. Oh, there's face springs too. Okay, face springs. Oh, my name on there. 2011. I guess that's when I came. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. So when we became a church, originally when we became a church at Faith Springs, 2015, when I became the pastor, 2011. And this is just nice. Thank you for the birthday gift and the thought. I love you, and I appreciate that so very much. And I'm just going to drape myself with this right now. Perfect. Perfection. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. If you would, get into your Bibles, and I want to talk about something this morning, and this is just overwhelming. I love it. It's kind of cool in here this morning anyway, so I needed this. Get into the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at something that I think we all need. I know I need. This is going to be one of those messages or studies or sermons, or however you want to look at it, that I know each of you are going to need at a certain time. Some of you need it right now. There's so many problems going on, and I switched sermons in the middle of the night. I will do the other one some other time that I sent you on a newsletter on. But this is the one that I think we need. Every now and then in your life, we need peace of mind. And there's so many things that happen in our world that we just don't understand. And it comes in and it steals that peace from us away. And there's three things that steal the peace of mind that God intends on you to have. So if you want to start writing this stuff down, this is going to be good things to be able to keep, to be able, when you have somebody that has something to happen in their life, it'll give you wisdom. You can grab these notes and say, hey, there's three things. When circumstances are completely out of our control, we often lose our peace. Especially when you have people like me that enjoy the ability to be able to control things, to be able to decide when, what, and how. And when that is taken away from us, it somehow and sometimes takes our peace of mind away from us also. So when circumstances are uncontrollable, we often lose our peace. When, number two, when people are unchangeable, we tend to lose our peace. You know, people naturally resist change. And there's some people, it doesn't matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, no matter if you bribe, beg, or whatever, get on your knees, just beg them to change. They're not going to change. And sometimes that steals our peace of mind. And even if we say, it's for your own good, they won't do it. Sometimes if you keep on forcing that, they're going to resent you for that. They're going to resist that kind of pressure. But it does cause us to get frustrated and we lose our peace. Okay? So when circumstances are uncontrollable, when people are unchangeable, and three, when problems are unexplainable, we know there's days, there's seasons, there's weeks, there's months. This is a season for us right now, what's going on in the world, that life's not fair. Not everybody has a happily ever after ending. Things don't always turn out right. What makes it always difficult is that you're not going to know a lot of the times why things don't turn out right. But if you listen to the next few minutes, I think you're going to be able to grab a hold of some things that you'll be able to use. And it may allow some of that peace to come back. Okay? In chapter 14, verse 27. I love this. If you're there, you can say, oh, yeah. John 14, 27. I'm leaving you with a gift. Okay? Peace of mind and of heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Another version would put it like this. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Any verse you want to look at is pretty well going to give you the same thing. And I like both versions. Because it still tells the same truth. But I like that the peace that I give you, and this is Jesus talking, isn't as fragile as the peace that the world gives you, which is. The peace the world gives us is like the thinnest goblet glass or whatever, that if you just happen to touch it on something, it shatters. But the peace that Christ gives us isn't like that thin, shattered piece of crystal or glass. It is sustaining. It's there. It's thick. It can handle the turbulence. It's a gift. And if God says, I'm offering you a gift of peace, he means it. Okay? He means it. He doesn't take that gift back. We're going to look at a path for you to have personal peace in your life. And there's going to be a couple stories in here that get kind of dramatic in the Bible that you're going to be able to pull some gold out of, some gold nuggets, okay? I need to say right up front that nobody that's listening to me, whether they're in California, Chicago, Florida, Oregon, or wherever the people are today, nobody's going to be able to give you a problem-free life. It's impossible. Matter of fact, in John 16:33, write this one down in your notes. It literally says, Jesus says here, in the world, you're going to have problems. He warns us up front. He's not saying, now there may be a day or two. He says, no, in this world, you're going to experience problems. And we're going to talk about these. And to get the peace of mind is the result of three important decisions that I'm going to ask you to make right now or when you're in those situations. And the first one is to accept what you can, but what cannot be changed. If you make these three decisions personally, it's going to help you receive the peace that Christ wants you to have in your life. So to be able to right now accept what you can't change. So, just in the world, I can't change anything that's going on out there with COVID. Can you? I don't think so. So we don't have to embrace it, but we need to accept it. This is a season that we're going through right now. It's a situation that the entire world is in right now. And I get so irritated when people try to say, well, it's because of this. It's because of this. It's because of this. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their. Wait, it's in the entire world. This is just a season we are in. I can't change it. So I need to accept the time that I'm in. Now, there's a story here that really can get up in here and mess you up, but I want to make it full circle. So we're going to circle the landing pad and finally land here. But David, in 2 Samuel, try chapter 12. In 2 Samuel 12, it starts telling about King David, who had a young baby, and the baby was dying. This isn't easy to talk about. But if you've been there, done that, you know the pain and the frustration, even as a pastor, to try to counsel people at the time of losing a child is like, I don't have the answers. But there's illustrations in Scripture to turn to. King David had a baby that was sick and dying. He prayed. He begged, God, please save this baby. Save my child. 7 days straight, he prayed hard, Lord, save my baby. On the seventh day, the baby died. God did not answer his prayer. He didn't. I don't know why. Someday we'll know why, but I don't know why. When all of David's advisors heard and saw the pain that David was going through, Lord, save my baby, save my baby. When they finally heard that the baby died, the advisors were scared to death. Like, whoa, what's he going to do? How's he going to react? What's going to happen when King David comes out of that room hearing that his baby has died? What is going to be the recourse on all of us? So they were afraid to tell him. When David heard them whispering, all the murmuring going over in the side, he asked them, hey, has my baby died? And they all said, yeah, King. And probably reluctantly, your baby died. David got up, went and took a bath, put on clean clothes, ate a big meal, and went back to work. Now, I want you to see this in context, because the advisors were astonished. They're like, whoa, what are you doing, King? You were in agony during all this time, begging God to save your baby. Your baby's died, and now you're okay? What happened? And David said these words, the child has gone to heaven, and one day I will die, and I will be reunited and go to heaven to be with my child. In the meantime, there's nothing else that I can do. I've got to get back to work. David, at that point in time, accepted what he could not change. How often do we do that? There's an example there for us to get in the mode of praying for somebody, of praying and praying and not give up on the praying, or on the prayers, or all that stuff that, and the dedication of praying. But when something happens that you cannot change, you need to actually take a deep breath, wash off your face, comb your hair, put on clean clothes, and get back to work. And there's when the Apostle Paul was in prison. In Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Paul says this. And you need this phrase right now, okay? If you don't hear anything else, and you just want to, after I say this phrase, close the computer and we're done. It'd be worth you joining in today. Paul says this, Philippians 4, 11. I have learned to be content. That's major. Folks, that's a breakthrough for me, for you. Another version says, I have learned to be satisfied with the things I have and that everything that happens. Let me tell you, I could write a book on what's happened to me the last couple of years. I could write a book, and I have, on what's happened to me in the past. You could write a book with your own personal stories. But somewhere in that book, before, during, or after, or at least let's just look at today, can you say the phrase, I have learned to be satisfied? I have learned to be content? And the version there that I'm looking at says, with everything that has happened, and we're going to dig deep into this. So I really want you to see it. And then he goes on to say, I know how to live when I'm poor. And I know how to live when I have plenty. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Woo, doggies. There it is. Are you content? Notice a couple things in that scripture. First, acceptance is a learned experience. I have learned to be content. I have learned to be satisfied. We're in school, folks. We are taking Peace of God 101 in the highest university class that could be offered, called life. We're in a learning process. So this 57-year-old man now, where's my walker, you know? This 57-year-old man is still in that class. I'm still learning. Carl and Amber's precious little girls that were just on and said, hi, Pastor, this morning when we got on early. And she was showing me her little magic wand. They are in that same school, that same class of learning how to deal with it. Whether you've been a Christian for 1 week or 90 years, you're in the same class. And we're learning to be content. And you learn by going through the tough times, learning to accept the experience. And tell you what, there's one thing that keeps you from peaceful circumstances. What keeps you tense and nervous and stressed about these things in your life is I demand an explanation. I want to know why. Why, God? Why did this happen to me? Why am I going through this? Why are the people that's online, the people that's texted me this morning, why are you having to go through the things that you're going? And you sometimes just demand it. God, tell me why. Let me tell you, there's three things about your demand for explanation, and write these down. One, God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything. He's not obligated to explain one thing to you. You are His creation. He's the creator. Wake up and smell the coffee. He's the boss. He's not the big cheese in the sky. He is the Messiah. He is the creator. He is Jehovah. He is God. He doesn't owe you an explanation. Two, even if He did explain why things happen the way they do, you wouldn't understand it anyway. You wouldn't understand it anyway. Because our minds aren't able to wrap around a piece of what God has planned in this wonderful puzzle called world that each of us have a piece in, and each of our pieces in that puzzle have millions of little pieces that we have going on in our own life. Physical, relational, sexual, financial, spiritual, all of those alls are in there. And then it fits into the big, we wouldn't be able to understand it anyway. And then third, explanations would never bring peace anyway. If God came down and said, Greg, the reason this happened, if this was your situation with King David and your baby died, and God came down and said, the reason this happens is because of this, it wouldn't bring peace, because you'd still question. It rarely brings peace. Explanations never satisfy. There's a classic example of this in the Bible, another one, and that's Job. Job. The Super Bowl of suffering, Job. In a 48-hour time period, he lost everything. Everything. This wasn't the stock market crash. This wasn't that. He lost everything. Not only that, but his family, his home, everything. He lost it. First of all, 10 kids were murdered. Then he lost his wealth. Then his crops were destroyed. Then his flocks and his herd was destroyed. He went bankrupt instantly. He lost everything literally overnight. And if that wasn't enough, he got this painful disease where it led to open sores all over his body, oozing out with pain 24 hours a day. You think he had a bad day? Absolutely. Next time you think you've had, oh, it's Monday, it's been a terrible day today, look up Job. You haven't had a bad day in the context of anything. That's pretty tough. And then his wife comes and nags him. And I know nobody online knows this. People you know, not people, none of the people that's online. But whispers to him, says, hey, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Just curse God. He caused all this. Just curse God and die. And then you go through all of this. But he's never given an explanation of why. There's never an explanation of why. He never got it. Why is this happening, God? Job said, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty well-respected person. People like me. Why is this happening? And he never got an answer for that. Never. Zip. For 37 chapters, zero. Have you ever had God go silent on you? It's one of the most difficult things to handle in life. When you're going, why? God, why is this happening? And it seems like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming right back down. What's going on? Job was going through the greatest test of his life. But this is the guy that said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And it was a major test. And here's the point of that story. When God is silent, you need acceptance. You need to accept it. Have you ever noticed? Remember back when school was in session, kids. Remember back when some of us that are older now was in school and they would pass out tests. You remember what happened? They would pass out a test. The teacher would go around, put everything off your desk, put them underneath. Or in those days, you lifted up the desk lid and you put them in. And then you put it down and the teacher would go around and hand the test, or they'd take one and pass it back, whatever. You ever notice what happened when she said, or he said, okay, begin the test? What happens? The teacher is silent. The teacher is silent. Even if you go, and one of my favorite teachers was Mrs. Bass, fourth grade teacher, Frieda Bass. Isn't that amazing that I can remember every teacher's name from grade school? Mrs. Fortney, Mrs. Kincaid, Mr. Shaw, Mrs. Bass, Mr. Campbell. I go right on through. Those people made the impact on my life. But even if I would have, at fourth grade, if I would have said, hey, Mrs. Bass, what about question four? She would have said, Greg, be quiet, silence. And she wouldn't have answered. Because during the test, the teacher is silent. So they're sitting back and going, I just want to see if they've learned what I've been trying to teach them. You catch the whole point of all this story? And we're only on point number one, on learning to accept it. Just accept it. You're in a point of a testing phase, and the teacher isn't going to always be talking during that test. Accept and trust. I was talking to a guest the other night on the show, Kelly Rooney, and I asked her one of the questions. She has an alcoholic husband. And that was two or three weeks ago. And between me and you, that husband, ex-husband, died last week from alcoholism. So she was in the middle of explaining her story, and the following week or two, he died from alcoholism. Can you imagine what those kids are going through? Her children's going through? But I ask her, how did you get through those roughest times when you were married and dealing with an alcoholic? You remember her answer, if you listen? The Serenity Prayer. And let me read you the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But the rest of it goes like this. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is not as I would have it. Trusting that you, God, will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. That's a complete prayer, folks. That's one that no matter what, I need to learn to accept. It makes a little bit of difference in that serenity prayer, doesn't it? And the power of the second part is through the acceptance, through the trust, you surrender to him and accept him. Accept it. You accept the things you cannot change. You got somebody sick and you don't know if you're going to make it through it? You accept that you may not be able to change that. You have a child that's out there doing things that you just don't understand if it's ever going to come back, if he's ever going to make a difference, if she's ever going to make change her mind and return back. Accept that it's not in your control. You have a relationship that's not working out. You do the best you can in bringing some kind of resolution, but you accept that person, whether they change or not. God says the starting point to peace is accepting what you can't change. Number two, trust in God's loving care. Accept the things you can't change. Trust in his loving care. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust in you." God gives peace to those who trust in him because they depend on him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it all out. Okay, put a little paraphrase in there if you want to. Don't try to figure it all out. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You're never going to live a problem-free life. There's no such thing as it. Because there's always something. There's always something. And you know, if I would say, everybody text me, and don't, but text me your number one problem right now that you're dealing with in life. And you go down through the list. And you go, okay, great, this is it. If you text it to me, but don't. And then all of a sudden, we have a way to wave the little magic wand that Carl and Amber's daughter was showing me that she had. She was playing with her magic wand. We had a way to just magic wand, okay, everybody's problem is solved. That's number one on your list. Guess what? Number two moves to number one. Number three moves to number two. Number four moves to number three. You never give rid. It just keeps going on and on and on. So you need to trust in his care. And understand. And why does all this happen? Why is my life just one problem after another? Glad you ask. Three reasons. One, Adam blew it. He blew it. Adam and Eve blew it. That's why. Original sin. We live in a fallen world. It's never going to be a perfect world. Democrats will tell you when Joe Biden becomes president, if he does, perfect world. The Republicans will tell you, give Trump another four, it'll be a perfect world. And thanks for playing, it's not going to be. Doesn't matter who. You're not going to live in a perfect world. Because Adam blew it. We have sin. We live in a fallen world. Two, you have an enemy, and his name's Satan. You have an enemy. I have more than one, but Satan is the real enemy. You can say, Greg, do you really believe in a personal devil? Absolutely, I do, and so does God. Matter of fact, in the Job story, God was having a discussion with the devil about Job. A personal one-on-one. They were having a cup of coffee over talking about Job. He was having a meeting with the devil. So I do believe in a personal devil. And if you don't believe in a personal devil, you're telling me the Bible's not true. We're going to go out back and we're just going to whip each other because you're wrong. The Bible is true. 100% truth. There is a personal devil. That's the reason. That's the reason we have one problem after another. And three, not only did Adam blow it, not only do we have a personal devil, three, you blow it, and I blow it. I make mistakes. Believe you me, I make mistakes. I have to battle some of those mistakes sometimes inside my own spirit. And as a pastor, when I'm leading the most beautiful people in the country in a church, and I'm supposed to be the leader, the shepherd, whatever you want to call me, sometimes I just step in everything and I fling it on everybody else. It's like, oh my lands, why did I do it that way? And you try to do the things right, but I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Most of the problems that pain me in my life is because of poor decisions. In my younger days, when I was a child, that was my dad's decisions. We won't get into that. I couldn't control that. But the things that happen today is probably because of my bad decisions. I mess up my own life. And I only got 13 minutes, so I got to get through this because this is really going to, we're going to land this plane beautifully. But sometimes there's pain in your life that's nobody's fault. COVID. I don't know whose fault that is. It's nobody's fault. Sometimes it's just called life. Do you remember? The parents, and I talk about this periodically, but in John chapter 9, verse 3, the parents come up to Jesus, and they have a baby that's blind. They have a child that's blind. And they said, hey, Jesus, we got a question. Jesus stops, turns around, said, yeah, what can I help you with? What sin did I do that caused my baby to be blind? And Jesus' response was this. This happened. Listen to this. So the work of God may be displayed in his life. It wasn't because of your sin. It was because I want to show God work through him. And when we embrace that, the world, folks, changes. It changes. The problems we are in sometimes is so God can work and display his love, his power, his mercy through you. That is an awesome, awesome verse, John 9, 3. Then you go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your need, and don't forget to thank him for your answers. If you do this, you will experience God's wonderful peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Trust God, God's loving care in the situation. Some of you, when you're in an uncontrollable situation, you try harder. You become more controlling. Trust God's loving care. Others, you do the exact opposite, and you just want to give up and not even try. Trust God's loving care. Because both of those responses never work. Instead, you need to take the third step of peace. Number three, surrender to God's loving control. We're going to finish this up. We're circling the airport. We're getting ready to land. Surrender to God's loving control. The Bible is very clear about this. In Romans 8:6, it goes like this. If a person's thinking is controlled by his sinful self, what's the result? Death. But if his thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there's life and peace. Those are your alternatives this morning. Death or life and peace? Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be in charge? Do you remember? I remember. The boxer, Muhammad Ali. I always tell this story. I love this story. But he's on an airplane one day, and this isn't even the story. This is free. He was on an airplane one day, taking a flight, didn't have his seatbelt on. Stewardess comes by and says, Mr. Ali, you need to fasten your seatbelt. We're getting ready to take off. And Muhammad, in his pompous self, said, ma'am, Superman doesn't need a seatbelt. And she said, yeah, you're right, Mr. Ali. You're right. But Superman doesn't need a plane either. Good point. Good story. Cute story. But you remember this. Muhammad Ali, probably the best boxer ever on the face of this earth. Mike Tyson's getting ready to come back from retirement. I want to watch it. But, anyway. Do you remember at the Olympics? He was honored, and he was the one that was carrying the torch up to light the flame. Do you remember this? Do you remember Muhammad Ali, the most strongest, most the greatest on the earth? Floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee, all of that stuff that he was. Walking up those steps, do you remember? And lighting the flame, being overtaken by Parkinson's disease. And his hand, the strongest man in the world, his hand was shaking like this. You remember this? As he was going up and lighting that flame. If not, type it on YouTube afterwards. It will just encourage you like, wow. It'll be a moment that brings tears to your eyes. The strongest man ever, with the respect of all the world that was watching him. The greatest of all time, possibly, was like this. Trying to light the flame. Afterwards, a reporter talked to him and said, I want to make sure I find this here. In an interview, he was asked if he was still the greatest of all time. And Muhammad Ali said these words, God gave me so that I can remember that I'm not the greatest. He is. Even the greatest of all time admitted and gave it to God. That's pretty good advice. That's pretty good advice. God's the greatest of all times. There's evidence in this. Evidence of a surrendered life is always a life of obedience. If you have surrendered your life and you've given it to Him, you've trusted in Him, the evidence of that is your obedience to Him. I only got a minute or two, so here we go. Psalm 119:165 says this. Those who love your teachings will find true peace, and nothing will defeat them. Those who love your teachings will find true peace, and nothing will defeat them. Today, you may be in an uncontrollable circumstance. You may be married to an unchangeable person. You may be experiencing an unexplainable problem. But in Romans 5:1, if you surrender your life to Jesus, you'll get peace with God. You get peace with God. This is a mistake so many people make. And I'm watching the time because I know I'm down to 4. They want God to send them peace. Ain't going to happen. You get peace with him. With him. Romans 5:1. Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. That's what it's all about. Accepting him, getting him. Stop trying to control it. Things you can't. Stop trying to just accept it. Trust in his loving care. And then surrender to his loving control. And at that point, Jesus will come in and give you, as this blanket gives me, the protection. God will brace you and surround you with his love, his peace, his presence in the middle of something you just don't understand. But with him, he'll bring you peace. You have it? I hope you do. I needed this morning. There's days you sit in places all alone and you need the peace. I'm never in that chair all alone. He's with me. And now that I'll have this quilt to drape over my lap, it'll remind me that I'm never alone either, because I have the best friends and the best church family in the world. And I appreciate that. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that. Where are you at? Looking for peace? I know where you can get it. You ready? It's with God. It's with God. Surrender it to him. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace. May each person that's hearing my voice feel your presence and stop trying to control it all. And just accept it. Trust it. And be surrounded by your love and peace. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Thank you for being with us today. We'll see you next week right here. If you have a chance to get online tonight and watch Tim Dernslin, he's going to be here tonight. He's head of a Christian school in Alabama. And it's going to be really good, an awesome author. He's an Olympic wrestler, too. We're going to talk about that. But join with us back. If you need something, let me know. I would love to hear your response and your thoughts about it online. If you want to call me, text me, email me, I would love to hear that. and reach out to each other, love each other. And again, I want to thank everybody for my birthday present. I appreciate that so much. From the bottom of my heart, I love you. Have an awesome, awesome week and experience the peace of God that only He can give. Have a great week. God bless you. Thanks for joining.